when you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street.
It's a matter of an inch or so. The ear to the heart, a little more. From the ear to the rest of the woman's quite a way to go. And that's what our friend the microphone is for. If you think of a woman as a placid pool, think of your voice as a precious stone. The water is still, so still until you drop your jewel. Such beautiful rings you create with the help of your friend, the microphone. Everyone has a vibration, a sleeping frequency of their own, waiting in anticipation for the touch of a sympathetic tone. The words aren't important, the sound contains its own rewards. The fruits of the alchemy you'll do. Murmurs that issue from your vocal cords, turn to gold with the help of the friend you're murmuring to. Blah 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 blah. Blah 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 blah. Blah blah. You can say so much without saying so much when you touch your mouth to the windscreen. You can get so close without getting too close when you're holding this wonderful machine. And thanks to this product of genius German engineers, you don't have to walk this world alone. This world made of women with hungry hearts and thirsty ears, anxiously waiting for sips of the honey that dribbles and drips from the silver spoon pressed to your lips. Your microphone, your microphone, the microphone.
And we are absolutely thrilled today on Broadway to Main Street that on the other side of this microphone is David Yazbek, one of the great, in my opinion, 21st century lyricist composers for the Broadway stage, with 5 shows under his copious belt. This is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street here on 88.3 FM, Peconic Public Broadcasting, emanating today out of our studio overlooking Broadway, because David Yazbek and Broadway are practically synonymous. Welcome, David.
Thank you. The term copious belt is very apropos. I just had dinner. It's out to the last hole. And
I was speaking in terms of talent, David.
Oh, I'm not, sorry. I thought
not being, in terms of,
yes, you're being literal.
That was, no, it's probably a little more corporeal than I wanted it to be. David, you're just on a total roll. We've been loving Tootsie, just released on Decca Broadway, winner of two Tony Awards, following up with the band's Visit, which won a huge whopping number of Tony Awards, including your first for Best Score and, of course, for Best Musical. So I'd like to take a little tour down memory lane and look at some of your shows and the way you think about musical theater, which I think is so unique.
How far back are we going? Are we going back to when you and I were writing songs in college?
Yes, I guess I can say that. You and I wrote a show together in college.
Yeah.
I only have the script, but I'm happy to say that you far surpassed me as a lyricist professionally. But let's go back to your musical tastes, which I know are really eclectic. You were not really a Broadway baby in the way that, I don't know, other people of your generation are.
I always enjoyed musicals, and we had a lot of musicals albums when I was a kid. And I lived in New York City, so my parents took me to see shows. Unlike many of the people that I work with, my dream was not to be a Broadway composer, lyricist, writer, actor, anything involving musical theater. If I had a dream, it had to do with being in the Beatles, you know, or Led Zeppelin, or maybe sometimes being, Steve Martin, like a comedy.
Was that because for you Broadway wasn't cool, or you just had more interesting things out there? Because I know you saw a Miles Davis concert in Egypt or something astonishing.
In Lebanon, when I was 12. Yeah. I mean, my parents were pretty conscious of interesting me in a broad, frame of reference. And I always have been curious and kind of hungry for new sounds. And in order to do anything you want musically, it's helpful not to be tethered to a story or to characters.
Or to a style. I mean, you're an amazingly eclectic. I know that Guys and Dolls is one of your, it's probably your favorite show. Would you say that?
I've fallen into the habit of saying that, but I actually think it's still true.
What do you like about Guys and Dolls?
Frank Lesser manages musically and lyrically to just always have a tone of excellence, being funny when necessary, being very true to character, and being able to sort of touch you in a way that, musical theater is all about artifice, as is theater to some degree. And yet there's something so genuine at the heart of it. So it's a real touchstone for me, that show.
Great. Well, let's hear the title track.
What's playing at the Roxy? I'll tell you what's playing at the Roxy. A picture about a Minnesota man so in love with a Mississippi girl that he sacrifices everything and moves all the way to Biloxi. That's what's playing at the Roxy.
What's in the Daily News? I'll tell you what's in the Daily News. Story about a guy who bought his wife a small ruby with what otherwise would have been his union dues. That's what's in the Daily News.
What's happening all over? I'll tell you what's happening all over. Guy sitting at home by a television set who used to be something of a rover. That's what's happening all over. Love is a thing that has licked him. And it looks like Nathan's just another victim. Yes, sir, when you see a guy reach for stars in the sky, you can bet that he's doing it for some doll.
When you spot a John waiting out in the rain, chances are he's insane. There's only a John can be for a Jane.
When you meet a gent paying all kinds of rent for a flat that could flatten a Taj Mahal, call it sad, call it funny, but it's better than even money that the guy's only doing it for some dough.
When you see a Joe saving half of his dough, you can bet they'll be minking it for some dough.
When a bum buys wine like a bum can't afford, it's a cinch that the bum is under the thumb of some little broad.
When you meet a mug lately out of the jug, and he's still lifting platinum fal de ral,
call it hell, call it heaven, it's a probable 12-7 that the guy's only doing it for some doll.
when you see a sport and his cash has run short, you can bet that he's banking it with some Dow.
When a guy wears tails with the front gleaming white, who the hell do you think he's tickling pink on Saturday night?
When a lazy slob takes a good steady job and he smells from Vitalis and Barbasol.
Call it dumb, call it clever, oh, but you can give odds forever that the guy's only doing it for some doll, some doll, some doll. The guy's only doing it for some doll.
Well, a touchstone in musical theater history, and we're here with David Yazbek, and after a fairly eclectic career as a writer and a band player and a composer, you found your way to Broadway with the Full Monty. How did that happen?
By the time around 1998 rolled around, I was kind of tired of traveling around playing. I was kind of wondering, how do you write music without having to tour with it yourself? And, mm-hmm. And I called my friend Adam Gettle, who is the most brilliant composer around. And he had just done a show called Floyd Collins, which was a beautiful show. And I said, how do I, and he and I had been in a band.
Uh-huh. Like, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Like when we were really young,
wow.
You know, like 6 or 7 years before that. And he said, oh, just do it. It wasn't very helpful, except that he got the call for the Full Monty.
Oh, wow.
He realized it's not right for him.
No.
He said, go to Yazbek. They came to me. I said, well, I have two albums. Just listen to them. They listened to them and said, oh, let's try Full Monty. So that's how I fell into musical theater. Now, it was helpful that you and I had written a show in college,
college, yeah.
Because I'd been through the process, even though, you know, we were just learning what the process was. So,
right. Interesting. Know. Well, one of the things that one of the gifts, many gifts you bring to 21st century composing is, you don't just do the Tin Pan Alley playbook. You bring the whole variety of music. And certainly in the next song we're going to hear, you tapped into your Motown chops with the greatly admired André DeShields.
Now watch me work. There's a breeze off the river, through the crack in the window pane. There's my boy on the pillow, and I feel like I'm lost again. Everybody knows the secret, they all know what their life should be, and they move like a river. Everybody knows except for me, and I never feel like somebody, somebody calls a father. I can't explain, but when I look at you, kid, it's like a mirror, it spins my head, it wakes me like the breeze off the river. Every time I see your face, and it's strange but familiar, like a map of a better place. And sometimes I feel like I live in a shadow, shadow's all I see. Then you jump straight up and you grab the moon, and you make it shine on me. Where do you get it from? Everybody knows the secret. Well, I don't, and I never did. I don't know any secret. All I know is I love you, kid. All I know is I love you, kid. All I know.
Breeze Off the River, Patrick Wilson, from the score of Full Monty, written by our guest today, David Yazbek. So, David, following the trajectory of your career, you have what I call this sort of good, bad luck, right? You have this great, wonderful comedy, that musical comedy that connected with everyone. And then it opened in the same season as this little skit called The Producers. What was that like?
It was interesting. And in retrospect, you know, like a year after all that happened, Jack O'Brien, who directed The Full Monty and who's, you know, one of the sort of titans of American theater, said, it's actually, you're pretty lucky that you didn't win your first time out like that. Mm-hmm. And I kind of understand what he means now. But as the years have gone by, what I've noticed is, you know, people love that show, my show, Full Monty, our show, so much that it's very satisfying. It's been lucrative. It is what it is. And I did that, having that lesson of kind of like, a weird kind of disappointment about something that's somewhat vacuous, mm-hmm. was a very good lesson for me.
But I think that would be interesting for our listeners. So it ran however long it ran, what, two seasons?
Like
season and a half?
Two and a half?
Two and a half.
Oh, yeah, it was like...
But then it probably gets done everywhere all the time, right? Because of it's such an accessible musical that people forget that these shows have lives that we don't know about because we're not seeing every theater across America or the world for that matter.
That's exactly right. I mean, there's been productions everywhere. I have posters in Czechoslovakian and Polish and Japanese and, you know, Thai, you know, just everywhere. And continuously that happens. It's because it's a great story. It's also because it happens to be a very, very funny show.
Right.
I think it's actually funnier than The Producers for my comedy money.
Definitely even funnier than Full Monty is Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. It's interesting that of the five shows you brought to Broadway, they're all based on movies, and none of them changed the title, right? If you've been writing these in the 60s, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels would have been called, you know, Great Big Stuff, I don't know what. But is that, have you noticed, is that a, just a, who knows, that just kind of happened that way?
I think the fact that they're all based on these movies is definitely coincidence. It's like, it just, these are stories that I said yes to, or I wanted to tell. I watch lots of movies. I'm a giant film buff, so it's not surprising that I would sort of come across this stuff.
Right.
I also read a lot. The next shows that I have coming up, one of them is from a very famous movie, and then there's like two or three that I'm working on, none of which are for movies.
Oh, cool.
So there's going to be a spate, and people are going to say, why did you decide to stop doing shows based on movies? And it's just the way the dice fell.
Yeah, really. Well, they definitely rolled really well with Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. You had a tremendous cast. I want to talk a little bit later about the people you work with, but here is the one, the only, Sherry Renee Scott.
Would you look at that coffered ceiling? Look at that chandelier. Excuse me, but how I'm feeling is 100 proof I could raise the roof. I'm so happy to be here. I've been kind of missing Mom and Daddy. Sort of been a spin since Cincinnati. The morning flight, a major bore, but then they open the cabin door and zoot to lore, here I am. Lord knows I had the will and the resources. My mom and dad kept saying, hold your horses. I guess those ponies couldn't wait. Pardon me, folks, but they've left the gate. I may be late, but here I am. All the way to V, to me is French. The way they say la vie is French. So here I am, Beaumont Samara. A big 2 weeks on the Riviera. If I'm only dreaming, please don't wake me. Let the summer sun and breezes take me. Excuse me if I seem too soon. I promise I'll find my marble soon. But everywhere I look, it's like a scene from a book. Open the book and here I am. Oops, sorry. Pardon me if I fly off the handle. No place else on earth can hold a candle. So veni, vidi, vici, folks. Let's face it, juice we see, see, folks. Excuse me moi if I spout. I'm letting my shun sing out. I'm sorry to shout, but here.
I thought I knew the score, but coming here I found a world I've never seen before. Now I know where I belong, a life of taste and class, with culture and sophistication pouring out my ass. What do I want? I want this. I want this. Ah, I want this. I thought I had a real gift, that penny anti-grift. But Freddy's getting ready now to give his life a lift. I'm tired of being a chump. I wanna be like Trump. 200 pounds of caviar and one gigantic lump. Give me great big stuff. This is how I gotta live. Great big stuff. Oh no, alternative. Great big stuff. I want my silver spoon. Don't need it right now, but I better. A mansion with a moat around which I will float, with some vast bottom babies in my glass bottom boat. A house in the Bahamas, paisley silk pajamas, poker with Al Roker and our friend Lorenzo Lamas. Give me
great big stuff.
I really do deserve it.
Great big stuff.
With servants who will serve it.
Great big fever. Every day's my birthday, every night is my bar mitzvah. Oh, give me a home where the centerfolds roam. Guccione on the phone, he got a party going on. And Heffel have me over to play some naked twister. Blotto in the grotto with a playmate and her sister. Rap stars will love me.
Great big sum.
Get me a posse, I eat.
Great big sum.
Chilling in the city, sitting pretty in the caddy with P. Daddy or Pup Diddy or whatever. I'll change my name too. I'll get my hats back all pimped out. The islands in the winter, the Hamptons in the summer, the fashion plate I dadle, gimme Hummers in my Hummer, the cash to keep me idle, the chicks to keep me vital, the pills to keep me happy, even when I'm suicidal.
Great big sum.
Oh, nothing crass or crappy.
Great big sum.
That would make me very happy.
Great big sum.
Bring it on and make it snappy. Classy shit! Like a mink track suit! My own personal Zamboni! Lots of unnecessary surgery! I can finally afford to see a Broadway show! Gout! I want someone to love me for my money. Yeah.
So Norbert Leo Butz, a career making performance, one of many from a David Yazbek show. So a couple things I want to talk about here. One is, David, you are the first composer to put our current commander in chief into a lyric.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, so, and that was a long time ago. Right. So he was just a local joke at the time instead of being a national disgrace.
Right. Yeah. Well done.
Donald Trump.
Yeah. I guess that's a notch on your belt, on your copious belt. So that song is so great to me, A, because it uses such an interesting genre of a hip hop in a Broadway show. So like if you look at people like Adler and Ross who wrote Pajama Game, they were actually using the music that was on the radio at the time, different genres. And you pull a lot of different genres into your shows that we wouldn't expect. So hip hop seems to be the right musical language for that character at that point, even though he's not a hip hop guy.
Yeah, but he is the kind of white guy who you think listens to sort of novelty hip hop.
Okay.
And it's the song, the song kind of is reminiscent of hip hop without being like specifically like a rap song. And I knew going in that I could use sort of the cadences and sort of the thrill of a certain kind of funny kind of hip hop. And that character could bounce his way to.
So it's not hip hop. It's a white boy's version of what hip hop might send him to in terms of what he's dreaming of.
Yes. And he is dreaming of bling and he's dreaming of big cars and he doesn't really even know what those riches are. So he's probably thinking about a video that he saw.
Wow. You know? That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm with David Yazbek, the composer lyricist of five amazing Broadway musicals here today on Broadway to Main Street. We will get to Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown towards the end of our show because I want to talk about the dramaturgy of that. But clearly the game changer for you seems to have been the band's visit. And in a way, I would say as an observer, your stuff was so contemporary and so hip. And then you go to a place that's very gentle, but yet also very deep in terms of your personal makeup, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, if you listen to the songs on my albums that are my solo, you know, with my band,
right,
you're hearing stuff that is the issues and the sentiments that I think about and that I want to say something about. Just me, David Yazbek. That's what I want to talk about.
Right.
I was able to write a bunch of songs that were almost me digging down into revelations about myself and in about connection with people and spiritual stuff. And by the time I was done, I was like, wow, this is like making an album of stuff I want to talk about.
Interesting. But you're also, to me, not, I'm going to say just, composer, lyricist, you're a musical playwright. You know how to set up audience expectations and subvert them in a very theatrical way. And you wrote to me one of the great anti-opening numbers in any musical because it takes all that kind of, hey, here we are, folks. Welcome to Oklahoma yeah. and turns it on its head. So let's hear the opening number from The Band's Visit.
Let me tell you about Petah Tikva. Such a city, everybody loves it. Lots of fun, lots of art, lots of culture. That's Petah Tikva. With a P. Where you are, this is not Petah Tikva. Such a city, nobody knows it. Not a fun, not a art, not a culture. This is Petah Tikva. With a B.
Like in boring, like in barren, like in bullshit, like in bland.
Like in basically bleak and beige and blah, blah, blah. Only desert, the town of Bet Hatikva. See, apartments. Gaze upon my cafe. While you're here, be sure to go back and forth between my cafe and the apartments. So much to explore.
A sand hill of your choosing. Take some bricks that no one's using.
Build some buildings, put some Jews in.
Then blah blah blah.
Petah
Tikva. Here you are in renowned Petah Tikva. Go ahead, look around Petah Tikva. Lucky you, you have found Petah Tikva. Welcome to nowhere.
With a B.
Welcome to nowhere.
Friday.
Amazing. Katrina Lenk from The Band's Visit. One thing that's really struck me, David, is you've worked not only with some of the best people, John Lithgow, Norbert Leo Butch, Jonathan Pryce, who I thought was fantastic in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, Patti LuPone, Sherry Renee Scott, Brian Stokes Mitchell, and now Katrina Lenk. And we'll get on to, of course, to Santino. But are you do you write for them? Is there just something that you do that turns them into stars? I mean, you are not since Rodgers and Hammerstein has there been someone who's served these people up to a larger audience. But it's really serious. I mean,
you know, I don't know exactly. With each person, it's a different thing. Mm-hmm. You know, that song, the Kultum song, was written before she was cast.
Wow.
But when she came in and we heard her sing, it was clear to all of us that she was an act.
Right.
It was clear to all of us that she was the character, that we wanted her. But for me, it was the most exciting because what I heard was a unique voice. And it's not that easy to get that in auditions for a Broadway show. You get a lot of these sort of trained voices.
Right.
And just like in the same way that I sort of run away from the same chord choices and the same melodic choices that I so often hear on Broadway, that particular type of voice doesn't interest me. A voice like Katrina Lenk's, which comes from heaven somewhere,
right,
you know, or maybe, you know, limbo, who
right,
knows,
right.
Is
from
so
Hades
exciting. But she's, she was like the perfect, it was the perfect pairing of, you know, if I do say so myself, a really, really good song and the perfect person to sing it.
Well, occasionally you go to see a Broadway show or even a movie. I remember feeling that way about Gwyneth Paltrow in Shakespeare in Love. It's like, I couldn't imagine, I'm sure wonderful people will play that part in wonderful productions, but it was so deeply melded that you felt you were seeing something once in a lifetime when she was on stage doing your stuff.
Yes, I felt that way too.
Yeah.
And I just, and the whole time she did it, because between Off-Broadway and Broadway, she did it, I don't know, 800 performances or something,
uh-huh,
you know?
Yeah.
And every time I'd go in to see it, I would just be marveling at how fresh it was. Like her work ethic, her honesty as an actor, all of that stuff. And her musicianship. She's a great musician. I hope she starts looking for and finding things that actually are very different than mm-hmm. that, so that she can show how amazingly, what a great artist she is.
Right. So she's not reserved, exotic chick in every
exactly.
show. Yeah. Interesting. Well, our next song is kind of a bookend to me to Breeze Off the River, because in a couple of your shows, you deal with dads and kids. And I would imagine that's important to you.
Yeah. I mean, Breeze Off the River came, could have come out of me even if I wasn't writing the full Monty. I had a child. I, like many young fathers, you know, I wasn't completely secure,
right?
You know, I was sort of like, am
figuring
I gonna,
it out as you go along. And,
yeah. And can totally. Will I be able to even afford to raise a child?
Uh-huh.
You know, the Itzik song is interesting. You know, the script and the moment and the movie all suggest that song. There's no way you don't write that song.
Right.
And going into it, that's an interesting thing. When you've been around a certain amount of time, you're like, oh, I'm going to write another song for a father singing to his child.
Right.
Of course, this is a baby and in full Monty,
circumstances,
12-year-old.
Yeah.
But it had to happen. And what was interesting to me was, you know, I probably keyed into something very similar in myself, but was able to do it in a you know, pretty different way that honored the character, I hope.
Well, let's hear it.
A great big house there is somewhere that's filled with sun and lovely things. Inside the house there is a room, a baby sleeps, a daddy sings. Thank God he is a lucky man, a busy man, a happy man. Thank the gift was given him to finish all the things he plans. I'm sorry, son, I don't know why this gift has not been given me. It makes no difference how I try, I end up drifting on the sea. We fell in love, your mom and I. We made our plans and started life. But now we fight and back away. The loser and the loser's wife. Full of sun and lovely things. Inside the house there is a room. A baby sleeps, a daddy sings.
So we're going to turn to your latest hit, Tootsie, just released on Decca Broadway. And one of the things, again, we talked about this earlier, that fascinates me about you is what genre, what style do you decide to pick to get underneath this character's skin? And is this what a rumba mambo? What's the actual musical genre that Sandy's singing to?
It's mambo. It's very fast, yeah. Mambo. Tootsie is a little like Full Monty in that I let the circumstance, the character, and the comedy suggest the music. I was serving the comedy and serving the story. You should always serve the story, but so sometimes you want the music to be the perfect not bed, but the perfect counterpart of the comedy.
Right.
And in my case, in the comedy lyrics, it didn't take me long at all to realize, oh, this is going to have a Latin beat that's way too fast. And what went through my head, I think, is those organs with those old organs with a rhythm machine that go, but when you turn them too fast, and they're very, very, makes you very nervous.
Well,
I wanted you to get nervous listening to this.
Well, as I said during another song, a friend of mine who's an actress got so nervous listening to it, like at a tryout or the demo, that she said she actually had to go to the bathroom and vomit because it was so true to the experience of being a neurotic actress. Here is Sarah Stiles, one of the most fantastic songs I've heard in the last few years.
I know what's going to happen. I'll try to go to bed with fear of failure flapping like a fruit bat in my head. I'll sleep for half an hour. The clock will ring at 6. I'll wake up in the shower with a stomach full of bricks. So I won't have any breakfast, maybe just a little tea. Like when you have to go and get a colonoscopy, which incidentally isn't half as disconcerting or upsetting as going for a perch you know there's no way that you're getting. But anyway, I'm heading downtown for the audition, where everything I'm dreading will be coming to fruition. And here's what's gonna happen. I'll walk in weak with hunger, and there's a dozen girls who look like me but 10 years younger. I'll go into the bathroom and I'll try to vocalize, and I'll be singing ming a ming a ming a ming a ming. But I'll be hearing Sandy suck. She really sucks. She really, really, really blows. And she's old and she's lame. And then someone calls my name, and here's what happens. I'll walk into the room. The gross fluorescent lighting is inviting as a tomb. And everybody smiles. They'll say it's good to see ya. But all I'll see is judges, and they'll all look like Skellia. And then a little banter as they look me up and down. And somewhere through the fog of insecurity and hate, I'll try to convince them that I'm charming and I'm clever and I'm fun to have around. But I'm starting to unravel. In my head I hear the gavel. Guilty! They're gonna throw the book at me because I'm guilty! a lifetime of waiting tables and debilitating self-loathing.
Sandy?
But wait, now someone's asking, so can we hear your voice? I make a lame attempt at humor, do I have a choice? I nod at the pianist, he's always wearing black. He's always in a turtleneck with dandruff on his back. No sooner do I get my note and open up my trap than inevitably some mealy-mouthed assistant director's thumbs all over his iPhone, and I know he's probably tweeting, LOL, this girl is crap. She's a fake, she's a phony, she could never win a Tony. And now I'm in a place I know quite well. I've left the world and I've entered hell. I'm this far away from a fainting spell, but just before I die, I finish a song which I oversell. Somebody says thanks and wishes me well. The next thing I know, I'm at Taco Bell, stuffing my face with meat. I'm trying to take it slowly. I'm trying to be my best. I'm trying to be more holy, less bitter and depressed. I'm reading Eckhart Tolle. He makes a lot of sense. I bought a Buddhist bowl. He says it helps you be less tense. It doesn't do a thing for me. I sit there on the floor and watch a vivid sequence of humiliating incidents from my past go by and think what kind of magic is. She's coming back for more when she knows what's gonna happen, cause it never doesn't happen, cause it always,
Sandy,
always.
Sandy.
Michael? No. I know what's gonna happen. Don't tell me that I don't. And don't say that I'll rise to the occasion, cause I won't. And don't say I've got talent. And don't say I've got heart. And don't say that I'm clever, cause I know I'm pretty smart. I'm smart enough to know that I'm too stupid to admit you can't survive a diet that consists of eating shit. The trick is knowing when it's time to pack your bags and say that's it. You know what's gonna happen. I know what's gonna happen. Here's what's gonna happen. I quit. I quit. I quit.
Imagine that you are the flower and I am the dirt. My world spins around you. Whenever you fall, I'm the one who gets hurt. I give you all I have. Give me one thing in return. Help me help you to help me to help you to help me to help you to learn that I won't let you down. I'll give you my heart and soul. I'll be here to play any role you need me to play. I won't let you down. Trust, I give you my word, I won't let you down. Nobody sees me and nobody listens and nobody cares. But you know what's in here, love and devotion that needs to be shared. Pick it up! I won't let you down. That's good, thank you, because you believe in me. Because you're the one who can see I'm here and alive. I won't let you down. Cause when I felt empty inside, you filled up my cup, you lifted me up. And I won't let you down. Up a whole step. I'll never let you down. I'll do what you need me to do. Let you down. Just give it some thought. I love you a lot. I won't let you down. I won't let you down.
That was Santino Fontana making his debut as Dorothy Michaels in the current hilarious show Tootsie, the album just released on Decca Broadway. Yet another Tony winning actor, thanks to David Yazbek.
They all owe it to me.
All
of them.
Churn them out.
All of them. I think somehow Laurence Olivier owes it to me too.
Yeah, well,
I'm not sure how.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Well, we're finishing up here in our studio all too briefly with David Yazbek, who is wearing black, but I can tell listeners he does not have dandruff on his back. I'm thrilled to say. Oh, probably an observation though.
It's also because I don't have hair on my head, but you know, well, those go along.
There you go. Let's finish up with a song that I think I said only partially in jest, sort of the 21st century version of Soliloquy. I mean, it's a little one-act play in the middle of Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown, sung by Laura Benanti. Again, another song that has a musical idiom that's what? I mean, Middle Eastern? I mean, what would you...
Well, it's, you know, it's Women on the Verge takes place in Madrid.
Right.
And... this particular character is from Andalusia, from southern Spain. Southern Spain, flamenco, all of that stuff comes up from Africa and comes up from northern Africa.
Right.
So there really are a lot of similarities between northern African stuff and even, you know, the stuff that you might, some of the stuff you might hear in the band's visit and the stuff that you would hear in Andalusia. But this is very specifically supposed to be kind of a flamenco beat on speed.
On speed.
Yeah.
Well, David, I want to thank you for spending an hour with us. It's your songs are so delightful, and it's great to reconnect with you.
Yeah,
by the
man.
Way.
Thank you. Thank you.
So here is the whirling dervish, Laura Benanti, bringing some of that Andalusian feeling into Model Behavior, Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown.
You have 27 messages.
It's me. Are you there? Call me. Hi, it's me again. Candela, where are you? Just call me when you get this, okay?
Okay.
Peppa? Peppa?
Peppa, it's me again. Why aren't you picking up the phone? It's like my brain is gonna melt if I don't talk to you. I've got a problem in the shower and I've only got a minute. What's the problem in the shower is this guy that I've been dating, named Malik. He's what's the word? Swarthy, like a desert chic. And he's been here in my apartment for about a week. I met him down at Cafe Sombra, and I know you think I'm overly romantic, but you wouldn't believe the connection we had. Like, immediately I was ready for him to meet my mom. Like, I could feel my heart exploding like some kind of bomb, which is ironic because actually I think he literally has some kind of... Anyway, Grandpa, happy birthday. Say hello to Grandma and be sure and think, oh, that was him. I may be jumping to conclusions, God, I hope I am. He thinks I'm thin and he's got shoulders like Jean-Claude Van Damme. Listen, call me when you hear this. I'll be here for half an hour. Call me back. Are you okay? You're not there, but we need to talk. My stomach's aching like I swallowed some enormous rock. I'm at the phone booth on the corner and I've only got a minute, cause I'm running out of change, cause I've been lending all my money to Malik. God knows with men I'm not exactly on a lucky streak, but this one really is a mess. I think I'm gonna freak. I know you say I'm an alarmist, but I'm not. Remember there's that time I thought I saw a spider. You said, man, it's a raisin, but it suddenly started moving and it crawled over and bit me on the toe. So if you're gonna stand in judgment, that's how much you know. It's a good thing I didn't eat it, but I never would have eaten it, cause I never did like raisins, so why would there be a raisin on the floor? So when you hear this, call me back, I'll wait a little more. I'll be at 773, damn, they scratched out the number, and misspelled vagina. Alright, I'm hanging up, I'll call you back. Which sucks because I'm having trouble working, cause the only thing I think about is this crazy situation with Malik. I don't know what I'm gonna do if you and I don't speak. I know you think I'm just a drama queen, but actually I'm practical, and damn it, I'm a model, so of course I feel things deeper than most people typically do. And anyway, I think my life might be in danger too. You won't believe what he's got eaten in the Fernando's working here. He's lost a lot of weight, and while he got that thing removed, he just looks Peppa Marcos is a salad. And now he's telling me we're shooting, so I've got to go. It's some big deal, a campaign, I don't know what it's for. They've got me posing with a melon and a matador. Some kind of metaphor. Call me back. Peppa, it's 8. I don't know why you're treating me like this. Peppa, it's almost 10 o'clock. You really are a terrible friend. Peppa, I'm sorry. I've never felt so frightened at all. I'm like a helpless little kid in the bar. Hey! I'm on the fucking phone! Please call me back. Peppa, it's midnight. Are you screening?
It's 3 a.m. You have to call me.
I'd never do this to you! What kind of a friend? What was the name of that cheese that I like?
Peppa. Peppa, sweetheart, listen, I need to tell you.
Tape is full. End of messages.
Peppa, okay, now even your machine's ignoring me. Listen, Peppa, I know you think I'm needy, but you've got to see. I'm feeling kind of woozy, I've been crying for an hour. My boyfriend has an Uzi and he doesn't clean the shower. And I don't know where you are, I don't know where I am. I'm halfway up a tree, I'm completely in a jam. I'm out here in the desert and nobody gives a damn. Peppa, 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 call me back.
Well, where is the time all gone to? This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing.